Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Vibe to the soundtrack of your soul. With every beat and lyric, we'll move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL. This episode of The Authentic Life with KL is brought to you by Break the Silence, a nonprofit created using music as a platform to raise awareness for mental health, suicide prevention, and recovery of all kinds, offering hope and starting the hard conversations to bring communities together. Hey guys, it's Kitty, and I have with me a special friend. I have with me Hope Chauvin. She is someone that has joined us on our retreats, and she just does some amazing things and has amazing energy, and she's doing some new things. So I think you're going to be excited to learn more about her. How are you today?
I am doing very well. Happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. All right. So we're going to just dive in. So before titles, before what you do, who is Hope at her core?
Awesome. At my core. So it took me quite some time to really figure out who I was at that core. And about 3-4 years ago, I finally figured it out. I was like, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? What is my purpose? And I had a friend tell me, because my middle name is Angelique, and they said, Hope, you're the angel of hope. And I was like, whoa. And it took me 27 years to fit. Well, actually, no, it was less than that, 25 years. Maybe I am 28 now. So whatever the math is, to figure that out, that I am here to bring that hope to people. So a lot of times when I meet individuals, I ask them, did you ask for hope? And about, I would say, don't quote me, this is not fact. probably though, about 96% of the time they say yes. And it is a very beautiful thing. That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to bring hope to people. So I am a clinical hypnotherapist, and I work with a subconscious mind to help people change them patterns and to become their most limitless self, and to give them that hope that they can be whatever they want to be, because we can ultimately be anything we want. We're limitless.
That's right. I believe that with every cell in my being. So what was life like for you before you stepped into this new adventure?
Before I came a hypnotherapist, or
yeah,
oh well, I worked hospice, and that's kind of where it came from. I've been working hospice about 6 years now. I did the math the other day, and I was like, I've been telling people it's been about 4, and it's been 6 now. And that's where this passion came up, because I've watched so many different people at so many different stages of their life. And I've learned a lot of information and a lot of wisdom during this time frame, but I've also felt a lot of emotions as an empath, and a lot of guilt and shame and blame, and not mine. And so if I can help people before we get to these stages at the end of our life, if we can right here, right now, change grief and shame, so working with them emotions now, then by the time we get here, it'll be a beautiful transition. And so I'm here to show people that.
Hopefully catch them before they're sitting there saying, I wanted to, or I should have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there a moment that you realized something deeper was happening in the surface of your life, that you knew that you needed to do something more?
That's a really good question. Yeah. I would say
culmination of things, or?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was just like one day I woke up and was like, I need the life change. I mean, I did randomly get my CNA license sitting out of my balcony one day on the hammock talking to a friend, like, you know what, I'm gonna do this. And I had no idea what I was actually doing until I did it. And that, it's just some random, I think I've always been on this little, I wouldn't say little, this beautiful, magical journey since I was young. I think this has always been, I've been a very spiritual little
Yeah.
fairy up here in the clouds
Yeah.
majority of my life. And so, yeah.
It's good though. It's good to I always say I have like one breaking point, but we all have like such a long journey of very strategically placed things from the universe guiding us to wherever we need to go. So it is hard sometimes to have like just one pinpoint. So can you remember a moment where you felt out of alignment with yourself?
Yeah, I do frequently. We're
Same.
human.
Same.
We're human.
Yeah.
Yeah, going back to that other question and this question, I guess my sobriety when I got sober, that was probably that turning point, and that would be the same that when I felt not in alignment. I guess I didn't know what alignment was. I'm going on 4 years sober in
Yay.
August. And I guess that is like, what is alignment? I mean, when you think about it, what is that? What does that do each individual? Because it's so individual. But to me, I feel that would be deep breaths and calmness and peace and just that groundedness. But it's easy to get out of alignment because, I mean, the world's crazy. The world's fucking insane. This is right now. So, like, how could we not? Like, that is just a human thing. So, yes.
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm learning, I think, more now where I'm at is alignment for me is when I'm able to stop the subconscious from coming out and like my nervous system feels more regulated. I think that feels more like alignment to me because I think when my nervous system, when I can't regulate it, which I didn't know what that was for years, but when I can't regulate it, then everything feels out of control and wild. And then when you start having experiences, when you know how to do that, or you start sitting with yourself, I think that makes me feel like, okay, I can be in this body. Like life isn't like, it doesn't have to overtake me. I think that's what my new term or new definition for my life is now.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I think
That's
that that's all right. So I want to dive into the subconscious mind because I love the subconscious mind. I hate the subconscious mind, right? Like it's our best friend and it's also our best protector, but it
yeah.
often gets a bad name, right? Because it brings up all those emotions to try to get you to be a certain way. So for someone hearing about this for the first time, how would you explain subconscious, or what is your subconscious?
What is your subconscious? Well, I don't believe there is any scientific facts that prove what your subconscious is or
Yeah.
isn't.
Yeah. It's a
That,
great point, because I
yeah,
don't think that there's a lot of
like
that. Yeah.
that's so for the doctors and the scientists watching, I got you, but I'm metaphysical. And I'm more on the Eastern side of things. And so subconscious, I believe our subconscious runs about 70, 80, 90% of our mind power. And what is the subconscious? Well, autopilot. It's
Yeah.
what runs every day. It's what runs us. I mean, can you imagine having to think about driving the car? Like,
I just show up. I'm like, it's like a, it's like an incentive. I'm just boom, I'm there. Like, I don't even know how I got here, but I'm thankful that we're alive. Like, and it's that subconscious that runs and runs. And so what we feed the subconscious mind, it becomes automatic. And it with repetition and association. And so if someone's never heard of the subconscious mind, I would say to you that it is, in theory, formed from your primary caregivers. And it's from the root. And we have to go back to the root. And that's what my work focuses on. We're here to get to the root. I'm here to work with symptoms. I'm here to get to the root of the problems, and the root comes from usual childhood. I mean, that's the reality of things. And so in theory, about 0 to 8 years old, you're learning from that primary caregiver. So whatever the primary caregiver is telling you, I mean, Santa's real, and then you find out Santa's not real. It's just like shattered instant trust issues.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Like, you just lied to me. Like, how could you betray me?
Yeah,
I didn't really experience it like that, honestly. I don't even remember it, but I'm sure some people have. Because it is, I mean, it's when we trust so deeply within someone, we look up and model them, and then there's like the tooth fairies are real. Like, what, fairies aren't real?
Yeah,
they are. Yeah, they are. I believe them to be. But so yeah, that runs primarily our day-to-day life, and that is, it is our greatest gift and our worst enemy, because we can instantly change our life. We can instantly build neural pathways, which is science, and we can reprogram that mind. But if we don't know how, then we stay stuck. We stay in the cycle of trying and trying and trying, going to the gym. How many times have we gone to the gym for 1 week and never gone again? Like, I signed up for 7 fucking memberships. I've signed up for 3. But you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, So that's what I believe conscious to be. It's a scary thing, but it's once you learn about it and start working with it, it's a whole different ballgame.
And I just want to point out here, because this is something I had to come to terms with too, because I always tell my children, like, I wish I would have raised you from a more healed spot. But like, as a parent, even if you're the best parent ever, congratulations, you're still an active participant in your child's shadow and their subconscious problems. Like, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I mean, some people should take it personally because they know what they did, you know, but like, overall, like, it's, you can't do anything about it. The best of people with the best of intentions are going to have this effect. So be open if you're on your healing journey, if it's not something you want to dive into because you don't want to deal with your own shadows. Understand, like, as a parent, it's okay. This is some normal stuff. The best part is to go into the healing and rebuild those relationships. So
absolutely. It's never too late to start. Like, that is, like, it's never too late to start. And I believe in divine timing. I truly believe in divine timing and whatever that looks like to other individuals.
What are some of the most common limiting beliefs that you see people carry in your practice?
Well, I'm not going to put it towards my practice, but it generalized from observing humans all my life. I would say that worthiness.
Yeah.
People thinking that they're not worthy enough. People thinking that their opinions don't matter. Being limited. I can't do that. I can't be that person. I can't. I mean, that's all just fucking I mean, it's reality. It's the thing that we all go through, but it's fucking bullshit because it's not real. Like, it's not. Yes, it's real. Your feelings are real because I have felt it too, and I still do to this day. But it's bullshit because we are so fucking limitless. I mean, the world is just. Or the world is in our favor, and or I will never be loved. Like, oh my gosh, like, we are all so. I send so much love to everyone, and I think love is just this beautiful thing that keeps going and coming and going and coming. And every human is on this earth for a reason. We all play a beautiful part in the way this fucking world goes around, and so I think that is like. Everyone does have a purpose to be here.
Yeah. I think the hardest one for me to, I say see other people with, but the one that it's probably because it's the one that I struggled with so much is the thinking you can't do it and then not wanting to be seen. That being seen means that it's dangerous or it's not safe. And so for me, I stood way behind the scenes for a long time because I thought, well, if I go on, you know, a podcast, like I can't do a podcast or I can't do this or I can't do retreats. It was like, people aren't going to want that. I can't do that. But I think that it's so heartbreaking now being on the other side. I still struggle with it, but I know that I step into the uncomfortableness and I will do it and I'll get through it. But for those who haven't got there yet, it's like, no, like you can do anything. Like, just try it, just see what happens. You know, I think that that's a hard one. That the whole world is like, let's stay small. We don't like the world and we don't like what's going on, but we're doing nothing about it. So come on. I think it's so hard for that.
Yeah, I hear that being seen. That's a good one. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that that's.
You just kind of have to just jump in head first and just go. You just do it. Like, I don't support Nike, but like, just do it.
Yeah. I think that if you will do it, jump in, you know, just try it and you'll see, okay, I'm okay right here. Maybe I can go here. It's like those little moments. Like, if you don't want to jump in like feet first, fine. But I mean, I prefer that way because it's just easier. But if you want,
I'm all or nothing.
Like, just do it. At least you did it and you see if it works. But just dive in a little bit. Why do you think that these things are so hard for people to break the patterns on? Like, why? I know at core, I know why, but why do you think?
Well, because it is, well, as I was saying in the subconscious earlier, it is about 90% of our mind power. So when you are consciously working with 10%, your logic, decision-making, your willpower up here, that 10% is not going to overpower something that has been in such a repetition for so long, has these patterns that are have formed. There's a beautiful door that is blocking the conscious and subconscious in theory. And that's why when we try to do new things, it's so fucking hard to stay consistent with it and have the repetition. It's the same same thing. So, for example, I lash out when I get angry. I get it. Yeah, I start lashing out. And I'm like, oh my God, what the hell? Okay, yes, I know that I do this. I'm fully aware, but it happens after the math. It's like, oh shit, I did it again. You know, and it just is continuous fucking cycle. But until recently, I thought about it and I started lashing out, and I was talking to my partner and lashing out, and I was like, I just need love. And instantly he was like, oh, I love you. And I started, I was like, doo, doo, doo. And I was just back normal. And then I started thinking right after, I was like, hung up the phone, started thinking, I'm like, oh shit. The reason I'm lashing out is because I need love, which would go back to my father's behavior. My father would lash out at my mother, and I knew that's where my behavior came from. I didn't know the underlying real root of why I was doing it. So now it's just like, oh, can you please give me a hug? And it's hard. it's really hard to stop something if you don't even know it's happening before it happens. If it's just that automatically just happens. It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes people don't want to dive in on that. I think I did the whole, my mom will say, well, all the women in our family are just loud and they just get their way and they're strong and they're loud. And I finally learned, like, no, I come from a long line of people that were never heard. So they think they need to be loud to be heard. That's not how, that's where it ends, you know? It's like those things are generational as well. They just like, this is just how they are. And it's like, no, no.
No, absolutely. That's toxic behavior.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, but we can't. That's the thing. That's a really shitty part about being in the healing world is, and trying to be a healer in this world, is that not everyone wants to change, and that I think is the hardest fucking piece of being in this world, when you want everyone to be like, here you go, here, I can show you everything you need to know, just follow me and let's go. And not that, I don't know if my way is right for everyone, but you know what I mean? It's hard.
Yeah.
Yes. Not everyone wants to do it. And I had to learn that. I had to learn that in my practice. I really did that. I had to really buckle down and be like, I want to tell every single human about hypnotherapy, and I still do, but I don't feel like you should be my client. I'm not like, hypnotherapy can help you like this. I just naturally flowed out now because not everyone's ready for it, and the people that are, it's automatically, fluidly just flowing to me. I can, and that is where the energetic and that vibrational comes into.
So I want to skip around a little bit because I want to talk about hypnotherapy and what exactly that is. I was talking with someone at work today and he was like, oh no, I'm not going to do that. She might start getting secrets out of me. I can't do that. And I was like, I don't think that you know what I'm talking, you know, fully about. So for those who have not heard, can you talk to me about what exactly it is and maybe how you go through the process?
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I could ask you, would you like to join my guided hypnosis on confidence or my guided meditation for confidence? Which one are you going to choose? One's mind control and one's just a
right.
meditation thing that they're just saying random shit. Like, they're the same thing. Besides the fact that it's a lot more technique and there's a lot more technique and modalities that come into it. However, it's the same thing as meditations, guided meditations. Before that stigma of the stage hypnosis and whatnot. And let me clarify, I can do stage hypnosis. It is not magic. You watch someone's behavior long enough and you can instantly watch someone's behavior and instantly know if they would love to go up on that stage or not. Because if I was at a stage hypnosis, you do not pick me and I am not going up there. Like, I am hiding underneath somebody and they're going to know damn well not to put me on that stage because I am not going like this.
I'm saying.
No. But that person that loves attention next to me, it will. And it's because it's not mind control. Oh my goodness. Sorry about that. I'm getting excited here. It's not mind control. You wouldn't say or do anything when you do in a natural state. Like you, someone that would go up on there, they would have done that automatically. It's silly. But the society was very smart with doing it because it put that huge stigma. Do you know how many people, every client, we have to go deeply, and then which is great because honestly, I didn't know what it was either, and that's why I started going to school because I was like, you're not gonna hypnotize me. And so I did it. I went to school for it, and I was like, holy crap, this is and what I do in meditation. And so before, back in the day, before this huge stigma came out, it was labeled as hypnosis. And that's what, that before anesthesia was a thing. How do you think they did things back in the day? They had plant medicines and they had hypnosis, because your mind, you can control your mind naturally. Pain, you can go into it with pain. People give birth on freaking hypnosis. Okay. I'll come back on here when I do that one day, because I'm going to, and I'm going to help mothers give birth through hypnosis, because it is that freaking potent. It is that powerful of a tool that we can use, and anyone can do it. And so what it is we get into a very relaxed state, and I facilitate, and we go on a journey. We use images and symbols, work with that subconscious mind. We create, because the subconscious mind doesn't know what's real or fake. It only knows what it knows. So from the primary caregivers, or anytime we're hypersuggestible and taking in information and putting it into that subconscious. And so when we intentionally go in, I think I lost my train of thought for a second.
That's okay. No, you're good.
Yeah. When we intentionally go into the subconscious and make changes. Where was I going with that?
You were talking about symbols and putting different things within, doing it on purpose.
Yes. Okay. So when we go in, okay. Yes. So when we, so it's like manifesting. People say, what is manifesting? And it's like, well, you are believing in something that isn't real yet.
Right.
I mean, is it or is it not? I manifested my brand new car, and it was the craziest thing. And I did it through the law of attraction and through deep, deep hypnosis, self-hypnosis. Nice. Imagining me pulling up my white brand new car. I am bumping my music, and it happened. And so when we can, that's how. So say we want to gain more confidence or love ourselves more. If we've never known what that was, if so one day I've never felt really confident, I've always kind of been like this, so look at me moseying around, and one day I'm like, you know what, I want confidence. You know, I'm gonna fucking do it. So it's gonna go straight into that conscious mind, and it's gonna check into that door, into the subconscious. Do we know what this is? Fuck no, we don't. And it's gonna boot out that idea. And so then you're going to continue to do the same patterns that you continue to be doing. And so what hypnosis does is you're in the conscious mind, and I work with the subconscious. So we go through the conscious, and we go straight into the subconscious to put that confidence. And then we go on a journey, and maybe you're walking and you feel the most confident and bringing in emotions into it and feeling the emotions of that confidence and love and trust in the body, and it starts associating in the subconscious. So when you move on with your day to day, you're going to start feeling that, like, oh yeah, I do feel confident. Looking in the mirror, like, I feel good today. And it's going to keep building the neural pathway in the brain that's going to continue to make this new pattern. So now we're not saying, oh, I'm not confident. Now it's like, oh, I feel confident. And so a beautiful thing that hypnosis does, it's like a reframe in the mind. So anytime, like what I do, anytime a negative thought may pop in my mind, it'll be reframed to a positive within 3 to 5 seconds. And it does. It literally does. A thought will pop in my mind, and a negative thought will be like, oh, I don't know about this, or whatever it may be. And that positive will just come over and overpower it. And the more that positive comes and overpowers it, it becomes a new automatic. And so that's where it becomes so powerful. Sorry, psychologists, love you so much, but I've seen over so many years, I've seen individuals and met so many individuals that have gone to a cognitive talk therapy for how many freaking years, and then they come to hypnosis, and they're seeing changes rapid. And the difference between us, love you guys so much. I do love my psychologist, but they're working with 10% of that brain, that mind power. I wouldn't say brain, that mind power, 10% of that mind power. And so when you're only working with 10%, how much actual change can happen in that? I mean,
I mean, that makes so much sense because for me, on part of my healing journey, one of the real impactful moments I had is when my teacher did a guided meditation for me to meet my inner child. And that healed something on a fierce level with me. And that's why I started doing the guided meditations at the retreats and things like that, because they're so impactful. So if that's similar things, I could absolutely understand. It changed something for me, like, and it wasn't something I ever had to think about again, on that level. It was like, nope, that moment in time that hurt me in an immense way that I didn't know was fixed in 10 minutes. And I now know how that affected me and it was able to be healed. Absolutely. If you guys are thinking about this, you should do it for sure. Because it just does change your life.
absolutely, and you're conscious the whole time. Your thoughts are gonna wander. We're human, can't stop thoughts. You're gonna hear the outside sound. We live in the city. Maybe you hear some freaking ambulance or something. Like, it's you're going to hear these noises, and things are going to be. You're still gonna be there, and it's like, this is the best way to describe it. Say we go into the movie theater and we're watching The Notebook. You've seen The Notebook, yeah? Of course, you've seen The Notebook. Yeah. We're watching The Notebook and we're just bawling our eyes out because it's so fucking sad because it's so beautiful. But we get up and have to go to the bathroom. So that's exactly what hypnosis is. You are giving yourself permission to feel emotions, but at any moment you can get up and go to the bathroom. You can open your eyes. You can say, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, it's not what the society makes it seem to be, and it's one of the most I'm so biased because obviously I'm a hypnotherapist, but I do fully believe in my core that this is one of the most beautiful healing tools we have because it's building neural pathways. That's this, and we're scientifically building neural pathways in the brain and reprogramming it.
Yeah, and people get scared when you talk about reprogramming, but reprogramming can be as something as simple as like I had that my childhood's what happened. I just went back and gave her a hug and was like, dude, like don't ever like feel like you have to deal with that again. And then suddenly something changes in you. It's not, it's not something that is scary. It's a very simple but complex thing. Like, but don't overthink it.
Not rapid. It's not. I've had clients that first started doing it that would be like, I don't feel. They feel it, but they're not. They don't know what they're like. They're like, when you wake up, it's going to be a whole new world you're in, and it's like it's that simple. It's not even like that. It's when you are going to lash out, but instead you take a big deep breath in. Release and your nervous system just begins to relax, and then you can talk calmly to someone instead of doing that lash out. And it's just some simple differences you never know until you're actually in the act of what you were going to do. You're like, oh shit, I was going to do this. Like, this was my old behavior, and now I'm doing a new behavior. Like, wow, I'm so proud of myself. And it's very simple, but yet so deep.
And I think too, I don't know the science behind it all, but I think when we know what we're looking for, like I'm looking for that healing, or I'm looking for this, or I'm looking for that, then you're more open to see those things. If you go into it and are like, hey, Hope, you know what I need? I need you to hypnotize me and I'm gonna be like, I think that you're gonna see what you want to see. But if you're ready to go in and look at things differently and be open, like the experience afterwards is going to be you're going to see what you're willing to see. Like, if you're going in and you think this is stupid, then you're not going to have the same experience as someone who is open to it truly.
Yeah, I do fully believe in having an intention, but I also fully believe in kind of just, I believe that I've had people come to me and they're like, I can't remember anything from my childhood. And I have been one of them people as well. And I learned from a teacher, a mentor, that you aren't supposed to know everything. And you're not supposed to know everything rapidly either. So when I have had individuals that go into like, we're working on business and confidence, but yet there is other underlying things coming up in your subconscious mind. Why are we on this magical journey, but this childhood fucking memory is coming up while I'm on this beautiful journey in the forest seeing fairies? Like, where is this? And it's because your subconscious will automatically know what needs to come up. It will. It's so smart. Like, it is so smart that it will automatically know what needs to be worked on at that time and place. I don't believe in jumping in and knowing everything. I also, I'm fully into like the Buddhism of, I do past life regressions with people. I think it's so freaking cool. But I also believe if we heal everything in this lifetime, then we don't have to go back to lifetimes. So why would we don't have to go back to things? I don't pull people back to traumatic things necessarily. Why would we go back to something when we can fix it right here, right now? We don't have to go back and necessarily be re-traumatized in it. We can move forward here. And how can we impact our next, what's right now, right here in this day? Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah,
Yeah, I don't
I'm a
know.
fan of getting rid of anything I don't need to carry because I don't want to do it again. I'm like, let's go, let's go, let's get rid of that too. Let's just get rid of it all.
Oh, it's hard to let go, though. It is. It's so hard to let go.
It is. It's absolutely. So when we're talking about healing, healing does happen on a vibrational level. What does that mean to you when you're talking about and you're saying healing happens at a vibrational level?
Well, for me, I would say it is everything's vibration, everything is energy. And if we are pissed off and oh, I hate life, life sucks, we are on a very low frequency, which would be a vibration, which, and if we are in gratitude, which I believe that to be the highest frequency, then anything can happen. There's room, there's space, there is, it's fluid there. When we're down in a tense state, there's no room to grow, there's no room to do anything. And so healing, music is healing, sounds are healing, vibrations are healing. Yeah.
Do you believe that emotions themselves carry frequency, since we're talking about like the high vibration and the low vibration? Do you believe that they carry specific frequencies?
Well, I don't believe there's any science to back it, but I do. I believe because how couldn't it? If I'm doing energetic work on you and I am like pissed the fuck off and I'm like, yeah, like you would be sending that frequency to that individual. I mean, how couldn't that not? Because you got to be in that state of healing and love and whatever they need at that time, and that vibration, I believe that it can transmute to the emotion. I don't think is it like the emotion is just fighting the word, like literal, but I think that yes, it can. I believe it can.
What does true emotional release really look like in real life, not what people show? Like, oh, I just released that. That's so good. Like, what does it look like?
Well, I mean, it's different for everyone. I would say it could be a numerous of things, like throwing my freaking table across the freaking room. No, I actually wouldn't have to do that. I do it safely. I do screaming, crying, in a safe, facilitated place, screaming and pounding. It's good releasing. It's yeah, it's not a beautiful thing. It's honestly the hardest fucking thing that I've ever fucking done in my life. It's a lot of loneliness and grief and shame. Over the past like 6 months, I went on this detox, and I took away sugars and caffeine and my vape. I mean, I took away everything that I ever fucking loved in my entire fucking life. I mean, soda, and I took it all away, and I had to sit with myself, and that what I felt inside myself was the hardest thing I've ever felt, because it was like a empty hole that need that we fill through food, and we fill through whatever we fill it through. I mean, alcohols, cannabis, sugars, whatever the fuck people do, we all have. We're human. I mean, we're not going to be perfect. We're going to fuck up, and we're
Right.
going to do things, and that's normal. That's natural. But when I sat with it, it was that. That was what I was like, holy shit, like this is a whole new level of fucking healing. Like, holy shit, oh shit. Like, it was a lot of tears. It was a lot of tears for sure. Yeah. But I don't want to scare people, because it is also so beautiful and enlightening
Thanks.
and magical and just so vibrant. And I wouldn't change it for the world. I would never go back and not do it again. I would do it again and again and again. And
Yeah.
yeah.
No, it is. It is hard. I'm 3 pounds away from losing 50 pounds. And so it's like, but I've always struggled with weight, but then I realized that it had a lot to do with, I went back, right? And realized it had to do with being seen. And then I realized it had to do with building this armor that literally there's that inner kitty that's there just waiting to come out. And so this time has been different because now I am nourishing myself and, I am moving and it's not just for losing weight. It's that way I can be stronger. That way I can be around more. That way I can take care of my body. And so I appreciate what you're saying about like taking away things because we do like people can talk about like, well, that's not addiction and that's not addiction. But in like my world, like food, I didn't overeat all the time, but that definitely is something where I found like, oh, okay, well, this is good. This makes me feel better. And that still goes back to like childhood stuff. And so for me, if it's uncovering all those things, and when you do start taking those things that you've held for so long away, it is empty and it's scary. And so if anybody is dealing with anything like that, it's lonely for a little bit. Yeah. You're like, man. And I think you go through like that grief part of it. Like, why did I wait so long? How did I not know? Like, blah, 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 blah. But you go through that journey and it's all sitting right there for the taking if you guys are open to exploring it. And I think there's so many different levels of healing. We're never fully healed. Like, I don't think we just,
Just
it's a journey.
open more and more fucking doors. I'm like, God damn it.
Here. Yeah,
Yeah.
no, it's for sure. So it is weird when you start taking that away and you look at things differently because it's like, wow, I never thought about it like that. But then once you see it, you can't unsee it either, I think.
I realized very quickly that it had nothing to do with the alcohol or the cigarette
Yeah.
or the sugar. Like, it had nothing to do with any of that, and it hit me at a very crazy time. But yeah, it's once it does, it's like, oh
Yeah, we
fuck.
think it's about a lot of different things other than the source of it, which is wild. I
Yeah,
think it's
no, it
wild.
was my mother's womb.
Yeah.
Literally, that's where back to that. We always think, okay, back to the foundation, but like when it clicks, it's like,
Yeah.
oh shit. Like,
Yeah. And you can't go back and not see it then. And that's when you're responsible for it too, then, like once you see it.
Yes, can't be
Yeah.
unseen.
What is something that you wish more people understood about emotional pain?
The body keeps a score.
So much.
The body keeps a score. I have a love-hate relationship with my body. I feel it betrays me, but I also betray it. So it's like this little fucking, like, it's very, especially as women, it's very hard for our hormones. Men, I'm sure they struggle too, but us women, especially hormones, and when we store emotions in the body, then we do these things, they bring stress, which raises our cortisol and it can make us imbalanced. My hormones have never been regulated. And right now I'm trying again this new little thing to regulate, and it comes down to what I'm taking, putting in my body, and how I'm nurturing my body, and how I'm talking to my body, and how I'm sleeping, and all these core factors. I believe energy, it can't be killed or destroyed, or it just keeps coming. And so I believe that anytime that we push something down, when our mom said, "Shut up, stop crying," insulation, nope, there it goes. There's fuck, here it begins. And it keeps going after that. And now we have a boyfriend telling the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's like
Yeah.
that cycle of that pattern. And it's just like
Yeah.
these, and we just keep shoving it down. Now our shoulders are, we feel like we have the weight on our shoulder. And people don't say that. Please don't say that, because literally the universe will hear you. And then you're going to feel weight on your shoulder a
Yeah.
couple hours later and be like, damn, well, how, where did this come from? Because you just said that it felt like that, So our words being so intentional, and trying to nurture our body as much as like we can. I've always lived like in my head, so I'm
Yeah.
just now being connected to my body. I'm like, oh, hey,
Yeah.
down there, feel ya.
We're all in here right now.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. What would you say to someone who is skeptical on coming to you for a healing? What would you say to them if they're skeptical?
Very normal, very natural. Your subconscious mind doesn't know what it is, and so that's normal for you to be skeptical at first. So let me give you the facts. Let me inform you what it is and how it can help you.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I think we're always scared of new things. So sometimes that's,
Absolutely.
yeah, sometimes
Absolutely.
that's healthy. So when you look back at your own journey, what saved you? What was something that saved you?
Getting sober, sobriety, sitting with myself, cutting off social media for 30 days, going on detoxes. I mean, all these things have played such a beautiful toll in my journey. I mean, so many different things, community,
Yeah.
nature, animals. Yeah. Yeah.
What does healing mean to you now?
And it fucking sucks. No, I'm kidding. No,
That's
it's the most beautiful fucking thing. Healing is, I would say, gosh, it could be a variety of things. It's not just one pinpoint thing. It's a variety of emotions, it's a variety of different aspects, and it can look so many different ways. I mean, it could literally be lighting a candle could be healing, I mean, that's been my main healing right now, is just candles everywhere. But like, simple, walking outside barefoot, like healing can be anything. It could be simply hugging yourself, which it doesn't sound as simple. It sounds simple, but hugging yourself is kind of hard to do. But when you do it, it's just like, I always feel like this, and I kiss myself. And I think it's important that we do things like that. And I think healing it just starts with that awareness.
What do you hope that people feel after they experience your work?
I hope they feel whatever their intention was to be, either that was to bring more calmness, to feel more at peace, to feel more regulated, to not have any pain in a certain area. Maybe whatever their intention that they're coming in, yeah, at the core, I do, and to feel safe and to know that there's a safe space that they can come in. I want to always my space, always be a space that they, and I love it. Clients just walk in, they just jump on the freaking couch and just like throw the blanket on. It's just like, and I just sit there and I'm just smiling, like, fuck, yeah, it's like, yes, I like that energy. Hit your vape if you want to. I don't care. I think we should be, we need to still be our authentic selves. Sometimes when you go into places, it's like, feel like freeze up, you know, it's like, oh God, you know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like going to a therapy, you're just like this. It's like, you know, you know, and you're
Yeah.
not yourself. And so I hope that people can walk into my doors and be their authentic selves because I present myself to be as authentic as I can. Authentic as I'm growing and expanding
Yeah.
and yeah,
Yeah, I just had a conversation earlier about authenticity, and they're like, well, what is authenticity? And I was like, well, I could tell you what it is today, but your authentic self truly is changing every single day because you're changing and morphing. I could tell you what it might be today, but it doesn't mean that's what's going to be tomorrow. That is the beauty of like the point of the podcast, right? Is we're all just in self-discovery mode. Where can people find you if they want to come to you for a healing, for sound therapy, anything like that? Tell me where they can find you.
They can find me at 2606 South Sheridan Road. That is where my in-person office is, or they can find me on Facebook, Wonder Hope Chauvin, or my website or my phone number. If they're local around Tulsa, then my phone number, reach out. We can. I like to do in person. I do love Zoom. I have clients all over the United States, and I think I can't wait to get clients out of the country one day, to be able to spread it to the whole world. But yes, I'm taking person sessions, and Facebook is primarily where you can reach me, that or text message.
Okay, and then I'll get that and post whenever I put this out too. So if you guys want the information, I'll make sure and put that out too. So I always end the podcast with the same question, and it is, if someone is struggling with their mental health or in a very difficult time in their life, what is some words of wisdom that you may offer to them?
You're not alone. You are loved. You are safe. And whatever that may be in that safe moment, this is something that you can create, not something that is like maybe you're in an unsafe spot right now in this literal spot, but maybe you can shut your eyes and breathe into something that brings you safety, whether that's an ocean or a tree or a feeling or somewhere that can bring you that safety and bring that, breathe that in to the body and lock that into your deep, into your core. And I send you so much love and light and
Yeah.
and kisses.
Yeah. It's hard. The world where it's at right now, it is, mental health is a very real struggle for so many. So, well, thank you for doing what you do, and thanks for jumping on. You'll have to come on again.